Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. This is one of those mornings where I don't have to guess what the message is to be because it was already playing when I woke up. And I thought it was God, but it was thunder. No, anyway. But when I did wake up this morning, I mean, I had to get up and get into the office, which is just right across the hall from my bedroom, and just begin typing because this came really fast. I'm going to put this as a PDF for you for a ready reference to have. And we've been really teaching on healing strong, as you know, since the latter part of last year. And so many messages. I have learned so much. I hope you have learned a lot. My life is changing. I know your life is changing. And more than that, the ministry is changing. How you impact the world is changing. Amen. And I want to preface what I'm about to say with this. He is raising the bar. He is raising the standard back to where he put it. So these statements that I say today are based strictly on the word. I am, it says about Abraham, one of the things that about his faith that made it so effective. He said, Abraham considered not his own body. He didn't consider the fact that his body said it was impossible for him to produce a child. He says, I don't care what my body says. I'm going to say what God says. And I'm going to have what God said I'm going to have. So I'm not considering my body. I'm not considering Alan's body. I'm not considering your body. I'm not considering your Aunt Susie that played the piano in the church and died of whatever. I don't care. We're not going to base our statements on experience. We're going to base our experiences on the Word of God. And the Word of God will change our future experiences. Amen? All right. So in Luke chapter 4, I just love this image of the Good Shepherd now. This is Jesus. We're going to start. Oh, good Lord. Oh. Let's just start. I'm headed for the latter part, but I keep looking at this. Let's start in 33. Luke 4, 33. It says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Did you know devils will go to church? Where are they? In the synagogue? Yeah. Well, that devil had been going in that man to synagogue for years probably and been safe. But this time he went and Jesus was in the house. Yeah. Okay. You're the house. Where you are, Jesus are. Bad grammar, but you remember it. Where you are, Jesus are. Amen? So in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now look at this verse. And they were all amazed. See, this is something different in synagogue. We have not seen it like this before. They were amazed because they'd never seen it. The whole world is going to be amazed when they see stuff they've never seen before. When you cast out devils by the same name and you lay hands on the sick and they recover. The world is going to be amazed and they're going to want to know more about your Jesus. Amen. But they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, well, what a word is this? Now, for with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. So here we've got authority and power over unclean spirits, right? And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Now, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother. But Simon was married. And his wife had a mother. This is his mother-in-law, you know. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her. I love this. And rebuked the fever. He spoke to the fever. He commanded, in the previous one, he commanded a devil. Now he's commanding a fever. He has authority and power not only over devils, but over sickness and disease. What did he say? You speak to the mountain. Whatever that mountain is, I don't care if it's a devil. I don't care if it's a fever. I don't care if it's a sickness. I don't care if it's not of God, you speak to it and command it to go. And if you have faith in God, it'll go in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
We're raising the bar. This is where he put it. This is where it's going to stay. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it what? It left. Now get it straight. When you rebuke the fevers, they'll leave. Okay. And 6 months later, she arose. Immediately, let's start having faith for immediately. And immediately, at least from that hour, they get better, right? Not every miracle Jesus did was instantaneous, but very often it says from that hour. That should be the bottom of the roller coaster right there. From there, they get better. Okay? She arose and ministered unto them. Now, this is where I was really going to start, but it was just too good not to. I wanted to see it. First, it was devils, authority and power over devils, authority and power over a fever. Now, watch this. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, with divers diseases, not just one, all different kinds, diversity of diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them. I love that picture, that image that it paints in my mind. They had to wait till sundown. It was a Sabbath day. They'd just been to synagogue. They had to wait till sundown, but here they come. Boy, I wish we had a movie. The multitudes. And here they come. And we know it was a lot of them because this took all night. He healed every one of them. Now that's the sicknesses. Now notice, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, now you see, I believe this went all night long. I believe this went all night long. I can't prove it, but the way it's worded, it leads me to think that was a pretty good prayer line right there. You think you've seen some big prayer lines here? Long prayer line here. I remember one time we had during the big conferences, and they were going to try and shorten the prayer line. So they had Pastor Dave doing a line and Pastor Bronk doing a line and Jim Martin doing a line, and they had me doing a line, and I forget there might have been others. And the idea was, you know, because boy, the prayer line, if just Dave did it, might take, you know, 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours, you know. Well, what they didn't count on is people would just move from one line to the other. It was still taking like 3 hours. And somebody asked Pastor Bronk. They went over to Bronk. And Bronk, you know, we've been doing it for hours, you know, and you're getting a little tired. And so they asked Pastor Bronk. They said, are you ready to quit, you know? And he says, Where's Gary? Is Gary still praying? I can't quit before Gary. I love it. But we never had a prayer line last all night. Oh, I don't want to depart from that image. Here's the good shepherd. Here comes the flock. And the way he sees them is they've been wounded, hurt, oppressed. An enemy has done this. This is not God. An enemy has put these sicknesses and devils and diseases on them. And he takes them one by one. The good shepherd laid his hands on them. And bless God, he wasn't finished till every one of them was healed. And he's going to do the same thing today. But today he does it through us. Amen? Oh, I love it. I love it. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, and that he should not depart from them. But he said, I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also, for therefore am I sin. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, isn't that wonderful? That's the image now. That's the image. See, I don't care what my body says. I don't care what your body says. I don't care what happened to my Aunt Susie or your Aunt Susie. Nothing else is truth. Thy word is truth. Amen? Those are facts, but this is truth. We consider not our own bodies, but are strong in faith, giving glory to God, that what he has promised, he is well able to perform. Amen? So when I woke up this morning, these statements were just running through my mind, from my spirit, through my mind. I just went into the computer. I just started typing them. Once I saw what it was, I'm calling this New Testament Healing Summary. But I would kind of say, so part of me wants to go so far. This is where we have come so far. In the teaching since last fall through this year, every one of these we have taught on. And I know most of you have not been able to attend every single service. So there might be some statements that I say here that you go, what? I never heard that before. Well, you go back and listen to them. I go back and listen to them. I've got to have my mind renewed. I don't want to have knowledge of this. I want to be this. This is who I am. Be transformed, metamorphosed to the Word. Remember, caterpillars cannot fly. Educated caterpillars cannot fly. Knowledge alone is not enough. No, the caterpillar has to be transformed to a butterfly. And really, at the new birth, you were transformed. But now that transformation needs to renew your mind. And we're going to fly. Amen. You hear me? Now, you can write these down if you want to. You don't have to. And I purposely went, as these sentences flowed, I didn't. It just happened this morning, an hour before church. I didn't have time to look up many verses. A few of them I knew, and I put them down. I may add a few, but I want to keep this clean. This document clean and simple, so it's just two pages, so that it's a ready reference, okay? And you can just refer to it anytime you want. So here's what I mean. We'll start like this. Number one, Jesus healed all who had need of healing. Now get that straight. He healed all who had need of healing. Got that? Is that a pretty good sentence? That'll blow away a lot of false doctrine if you get that. All right, here's number two. Jesus never turned anyone away who had need of healing. Never once. And his purpose was to demonstrate the Father. He says, Philip, have you known me so long and you don't know who I am? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus, see, the Father, he said, the Father is a spirit. You can't see him. But Jesus is the Father you can see. Jesus is the Father with legs. Jesus is the manifestation of who the Father is. Got that? Jesus never turned anybody away saying it's not God's will to heal you. All right? Number three. Now, here we're going to, a lot of sacred cows are going to fall. Number three. Jesus, now you look it up yourself. I'm not afraid. I already checked it out. Jesus never required a changed life before healing anybody. Did you get that? Now, I have a couple of subheadings under that one. After healing sometimes, not every time, but after healing, sometimes he would say, go and sin no more. I see a typo, just a minute. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Now, the fact that he didn't say that to everybody, that tells us this. Some sickness can be the result of sin. Okay? But it's not always that case. I wrote it like this. All sickness is the result of the fall. But not all sickness is the result of sin. Clear enough? You understand what I mean? See, sometimes you just flat get attacked. Let me just ask you. I had polio, life-threatening polio at the age of 5. What heinous, horrible, sinful thing did I do at 5 years old that allowed the, if you open the door, use your own religious terminology, that somehow gave the devil access to my body? No, he's a thief. He is a thief. He doesn't need authority. That's what a, if you give them authority, they're no longer a thief. They're just moving your property. If you told them to come in and take it, see? But a thief doesn't, he's a thief because he doesn't have authority. He just comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I could preach right there. Yes, sir. I'll just say this much. We are in a different covenant than Job. Job did not even know it was the devil doing it to him. Job did not have the name of Jesus. Job had not been given authority over sickness and disease. Now, Job was a good man, and he loved God, and God thought very highly of Job. But that's why the New Testament, the only thing it says about Job is consider the end of Job. How God is plenteous in mercy and kindness and gave Job. If you consider the end of Job, you'll find out he got healed. And God gave him twice for all that he had before. Think about that part. Okay? But I hear Christians saying the same things that Job said. They're not in the same covenant. You know the devil. Jesus. What I mean is Jesus gave us the revelation of the thief. We know who it is. I've come that you have life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've given you authority over all of his ability. Now take my name and run him off. Job didn't have that. But we do. Anyway, I love Job. God loves Job. He has some really good things to say about Job. But we are not in the same covenant as Job. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the greatest ever born of women. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Number 4. I can't leave it yet. Every time you hear somebody say, well, maybe God has a gift in this sickness that he's trying to give me. That's Job. Sorry. Maybe God's trying to perfect me and teach me and mold me through this sickness. That's Job. You don't find Jesus doing anything like that. Now, we've come further than Job did. We have greater revelation. I thank God for Job. God loves Job. Job's in heaven. Thank God for Job. And you can learn some things. But you can't pattern your life after that. You do that now, you're going to die. You're going to die if you, well, God's given me this gift. If you think that, you're not going to fight cancer like it's a rattlesnake. Maybe God, there's a rattlesnake coming right for my baby. Maybe God's got a gift in the rattlesnake for my baby. You don't think that. You take a hoe and you cut the thing's head off. Or you take the name of Jesus and you run it off like a scalded dog. Anyway, I'm mad. I'm still mad as hell. Can you tell? We're going to stop this stuff from taking our believers off the earth. And unbelievers too. Okay, back to the list. We're only on item 3. Okay. Number 4. Jesus never told anybody to wait for the timing of the Father for them to be healed. When I think about that, I have to laugh. Somebody come into Jesus, please, I'd like to be healed. And Jesus, you know, he kind of listens on the inside. And he goes, well, yes, it is the Father's will to heal you. Just not today. Come back Thursday. I'll check with him again. You know, there is nothing like that in Scripture. Now faith is. God is the God of now. And he'll heal you right now. The truth of it is, he's already healed you. That's another thing. Now, number 5. Somebody was asking me about this even as I come into church. And I'm having people speak evil of me for saying this, and I don't care. Well, I care, but I don't care. I'd rather stay with the truth, whether you're mad at me or not. Jesus never counseled anybody out of their sickness. Now, you're not going to find that. Sorry. Nowhere. Never do you find him digging, well, did your mother abuse you? Well, did your daddy talk ugly about you? Well, did your granddaddy do this? Well, the closest you ever come is when he asked that father, how long has this been on him? And he says, from a child. That's the only thing that we ever have. You know, that's the closest thing. But you're never going to find Jesus counseling anybody. The truth of it is, he's not here to heal your soul. He's here to kill that old soul. You're not who you were. Get over it. Well, that's harsh. Good. Maybe you can get healed now. Stop wallowing in that trash. You're not that old person. And even if it happened after you got born again, forgive them. Forgive them. Pray for them. I'm not praying for them. You better. Because he said to. Jesus never counseled people out of their sickness. And Jesus, he never counseled people out of their devils. He called sin, sin. And when it was a devil, he commanded it to go. He didn't counsel you out of your devil. I didn't write this one down, but I will say this. I like how Alan says this one is perfect. He says, listen, I can cast out devils, but I can't cast out flesh. We follow you around a while, we'll find out. Find out your patterns. Now, if we had to follow you invisibly so you don't know we're following, it wouldn't take very long to find out why you're having so much trouble. It's not what you was doing, it's what you is doing. And part of that is doing is talking about it all the time. Reliving it every day, every day, every day. Anybody that'll listen, let me tell you about what happened to me. You need to die. That part of you that wants that needs to die. Be resurrected to new life in Christ. Amen. You're not that person. Okay. We've already read this, but number 7 I wrote here this morning says, Jesus commanded sickness to leave. Just like we read there, he rebuked the fever. Isn't that right? He did not ask the Father on any individual person that you'll read about. He never said, Father, heal this person. He never asked the Father to heal a person. You know why? Luke 11, he already knew he had been given the Holy Spirit to deliver the bread. Remember Luke 11? Teach us to pray like you pray. We want to have results like you have. He gave him the Lord's Prayer, but then he told him, he said, look, listen, if you're going to have results like I have, your whole attitude about the Father's got to change. You think he's this stingy miser behind the wall that's got the bread and won't give it to you. But if you storm the gates of heaven, you know, you pound and you beg and you won't let go and you just keep on, maybe he'll throw you a biscuit over the wall. He said, your Father is not like that. If you ask, he'll give. If you knock, he'll open. If you seek him, you'll find him. And besides that, he'll give you the Holy Spirit to manifest the bread. And we're getting to this in a minute. I don't know how far down the list, but see, you have received power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The bread deliverer is in you. Amen. He's already given you the bread manifestor, the bread, the molecule changer, the Holy Spirit to deliver the bread. The bread of heaven, I'm talking about salvation, healing, what is it you need? Okay. Now, well, you'll find, not always, but Jesus often laid his hands on people to heal them. We just looked at that in Luke, didn't we? All right. Jesus sometimes, though, healed from a distance using only the spoken word. If he did it, and we're going to do the same works. I had one minister say the other, he was talking about, he was on this passage where it says, greater works than these shall you do. He said, well, in one way I've done that. He said, I was in America, and a person was in Australia, and I commanded the sickness to leave them, and it did. Jesus never did that from one continent to another. Well, he didn't. Isn't that a greater work? And that same minister said this, and I love it. He says, If your love can reach them, your faith can reach them. God, that just, man, that went through me like a, whoo. If your love can reach them, your faith can reach them. Shoo-wee. Glory to God. All right, number 11 here. Jesus equated forgiveness of sin and healing of the body to be part of the same redemption. Which is easier to say? Remember? They brought that guy, laid him down through the roof. Which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk. That's why when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, what we call communion, it consists of two parts, not just one. There's the bread and the cup. What did he say about the bread? This is my body broken for you. This cup is my blood in the New Testament. See, the body was broken at the whipping post for your healing. The blood was shed at the cross for your forgiveness of sin. Healing and forgiveness of sin are both in the atonement. Somebody here at the church had a dream or a little vision, and in it, the Lord had given him a pure white box with a red ribbon and a red bow. And when he opened it up, there was the bread and the cup. Healing and redemption. I mean, healing and salvation in the same box, the same gift, Jesus. All right, number 12 here. Jesus said, believers are to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And we have that in the red letters. You got that? Jesus did not tell us to pray for the sick. Stop doing that. Get it out of your mind. He never sends you to pray for the sick. He sends you to heal the sick. That is a totally different mindset, and it has all the difference in your faith. You may hesitate, just you may have to preach to yourself a little while. Pray in tongues. Stir up the gift that's inside of you. Say, when I go in here to minister, I'm going in to heal them. I'm not going in to pray and walk away. I'm going in to heal them. That's who we are. That's what he died for us to have, and that's, bless God, what we do have. So, well, I just don't know. Pray. Meditate the word until you do know. There's a warrior in you trying to get out. There is. There's a warrior in you. Conqueror in you. Now, Jesus, and this is in Luke 10:19. Jesus has given his disciples authority over all the power, dynamite, of the enemy. I like to say it this way. Jesus has given us authority over all the devil's ability. And nothing, in that same verse, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Boy, get that in you, get that in you. Eat that, digest that. I don't care how big that devil is. See, that's why the Matthew 17, it was the manifestations, that devil wallowing that boy on the ground, foaming at the mouth and rolling him into a fire, rolling him into the water. I mean, no telling the sounds. I mean, it was awful. And it was enough to where that it shook them a little bit. They were moved by what they saw. Jesus said, you bring that boy here to me. And it tried the same thing with Jesus. When it saw Jesus, it said it rolled him on the floor, gnashed his teeth, foamed at the mouth. Did it worked on the disciples, and that devil figured it'll work on him. But it didn't work on him, and it won't work on you. And that's where he says, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Now, I've taught a lot on mustard seed faith, and really the way I taught it was about how to develop the word on the inside of you. But this is a little different. He's talking about two kingdoms at war right here. The devil has that boy, and you've come to set him free. The devil says, I have more power than you. That's why the whole wallowing, the idea, I have more power than you. And your job, he said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And what he, in plain English today, that devil is nothing compared to your Father. That nothing, that devil is nothing compared to the power of the Holy Ghost. Speak to it. Don't take no for an answer. And it will go. Hallelujah. Prayer and fasting will help you get there. He says it's unbelief. And he was really prophesying to us in our generation. After the resurrection, prayer and fasting will work, will help you with that. But it'll never change the truth. Whether you pray, whether you fast, it won't change the truth at all. It'll help you understand the truth, maybe walk in it. But the truth is, you already have authority over all devils. From God's point of view, the biggest devil is a gnat. That's what he means. If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Well, a mustard seed's smaller than a gnat. It looks like a grain of pepper, if you've ever seen one. A gnat's bigger than that. Gnat's bigger than that. Anyway. You're a devil master. Instead of Christians waking up and wondering, oh, what's God, what's the devil? He's after me. In your area, wherever you live, when you wake up, the devil should tremble. Yes. Oh, Lord, the Christians are waking up. How much damage are they going to do to the kingdom of darkness today? How many blind will see? How many lame will walk? Oh, no, the Christians are awake. That's the day we're coming into. Amen. That's called revival. We've been out seeking this all these years, and we're coming into it now. Get ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Where am I here? Number 16, I wrote down. The law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Now, we've preached a lot when it comes to sin. How the law has made you free from sin. Dave has a wonderful series on that. Alan's taught on it. Nathan's taught on it. I've taught on it. But there hasn't been quite as much emphasis on death. It is the law of sin and death. See, Dave has always said, sickness is just one of death's cousins. Sickness is death in slow motion. God said, we have as much authority over death. And this is what John G. Lake knew, if you go back and listen to that lesson. During that bubonic plague, they literally come and put the plague germs. They took it from the froth, from the dying person's mouth, put it on Lake's skin and his friend, not just him, the guy helping him. And they put it under a microscope. And as soon as that those germs that were just teeming with that bubonic plague, they put it on their skin and it died instantly. And they said, what is causing that? They thought maybe he had some kind of inoculation or something. He said, well, I do. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. Whenever anything of death touches my body, it dies instantly. Boy, what a revelation that is. You get that on the inside of you? Because sickness is going to attack. I'm firmly convinced sickness tried to attack Jesus' body when he was a little boy. It attacked everybody else. But the law of the Spirit of life, without the Holy Ghost now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he run it off. He refused to accept it. We need to refuse to accept it. Amen. Run it off. Amen. Hey, I'm starting small. I'm not going to wait till it's the flu. Anytime now, even a canker sore tries to get on my mouth, I've been talking to it. So far, I've run them all off without them. You know, you can tell when it's starting. Yeah. And not one of them has manifested yet since I started that. Well, what if one of them does? That ain't going to change the truth. I'm going to still do it. Amen? Amen? All right. So let me read 16 again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to go ahead and say it this way now. You are just as free from sickness as you are from sin. You don't have to sin, and you don't have to be sick. Amen. And I say that in spite of my life experiences. That's what the word says. Okay? I can hear it. I can hear people, theological people, What about Paul's thorn? What about Paul's eyes? What about this one? And what about Epaphroditus? And so forth. All of those we've already answered in these lessons this year. Okay? Don't have time today, but those are sacred cows. And if they're not killed in your life, they need to be killed. Go back and listen to them again. Okay? I may just do one on sacred cows. So we have them all in one message. Okay, number 16 again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, under that, I wrote this. Number A, subheading. You have life within you that kills any germ that attacks your body. Number B, subheading. Jesus was never sick, and you never need be sick. C, Jesus commanded sickness to leave. And you command sickness to leave, and that means your body as much as anybody else's. John G. Lake was just real clear. If you read his writings, he said, well, sickness comes on people the same way sin does. You have to play with it. You have to accept it. You have to yield to it. And he said, sickness is exactly the same. Don't yield to it. Command it to leave. The same way you would command an evil thought to leave your mind. No. No, that's not acceptable for a child of God. No. Like, it could be porno, it could be revenge, it could be, you know, vengeance, it could be any, you know, no, I reject that. Well, you got to reject sickness the same way. Now, I already hit on this a little, number 17. This is why it's, I shouldn't preach so much, I probably should just read them, but anyway. Number 17, just a little faith in God is enough to move any mountain. Any mountain. You got to understand who your father is. Who is this God? Remember the message we did? Honor the God who walks in you. How big is that God? What mountain is going to stand before him? Yeah, I like the Old Testament. It talks about the mountains were made a plain. Where he walked, the mountains trembled. That's the God that's in you. Amen. Just a little faith in him will move any mountain. I don't care what it is. So I'm going to read that one again because the subheadings that's under it. Just a little faith in God is enough to move any mountain. Subheading A. Great faith. There's only two people that Jesus ever said they had great faith. One of them was a centurion. This is about that one. Great faith believes in the absolute authority of the Word of God. And what did that guy say? Speak the word only. Boy, you get to where you do that, your life will be completely different. The word of God is the absolute, ultimate authority. When you speak it, that's the way it will be. Okay? Subheading B, the other one that he said had great faith. Remember the woman had a daughter possessed with a devil, but she didn't have a covenant with God? Basically, Jesus tells her no. Jesus is God in the flesh, right? God in the flesh tells the woman no. And she goes, I hear what you're saying, but I ain't going nowhere till my daughter gets what I came for. That's a mama. Isn't that a mama? That's a mama. I hear what you're saying. I ain't going nowhere. So I wrote it like this. Great faith does not take no for an answer. God in the flesh told a woman no, and she still stood for her daughter, and she got what she came for. Woo! And number 18, and we've just been teaching on this recently, no sickness can remain whenever communion is taken correctly in faith. We're going to start having healings during communion like the church has not seen for a long time. And the second page has got a subheading. Now, you're going to see a little bit of repetition here regarding disciples. That section mainly focused on Jesus. He is our pattern, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. But now let's talk about regarding disciples. You're going to hear some repetition, but that's okay. Number one, Jesus did not tell us to pray for the sick. Change your mindset. You're never going on a mission to, quote, pray for the sick. He told us, heal the sick. And I mean, it'll change your whole position. It'll change your faith. It'll change the outcome too. You're going in to do war. You're going in to kick down the... Remember, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Gates don't attack. Gates are defensive messages. Defensive measures. Right? When did you ever get attacked by a gate? Gates don't attack. He said, we're the ones on the offensive. What Jesus saw when he'd come into an area and he'd see a woman like that woman bowed over for all those years, what he saw was a prisoner of war behind the gate of the enemy. And he'd come to kick the gate down and set the captive free. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I didn't send you to stand outside the gate and pray. I told you to kick the door down and set the captive free. Heal them. Set them free. If you got devils, cast it out. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. I'm preaching it, aren't I? So Jesus told us to heal the sick. Number three, we have the name of Jesus. Boy, now you've got that name. You got that name like Sue's got my name. Actually, that's even wrong. Sue is that name. She and I are one. We don't have her money and my money. We have our money. Amen? She has authority. She can do anything. I better trust her. And I do. She could sign anything. Legally binding, right? You got the name of Jesus. You're his bride. You're his brother. We're all sons of God, whether you're male or female in the body. You know that. You're a joint heir. How many ways does God have to describe it? See, the 12 and the 70, they truly did operate in delegated authority because they were not born again. He put his mantle on them. What you have is way beyond that. You have the name. If anything, it's more like the name is yours. You are the name. You can do kingdom business in the name. All authority, not delegated. You're not going in with some kind of delegated authority. You're going in with the full name of Jesus, all authority in heaven and earth. That's why the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. That name that's above every name. That's what Peter knew. He knew that much. Thank God for Peter. It is that name, through faith in that name, that has made this man free. Amen. Made him whole. Glory to God. Whew. I'm having a good time myself. And get this now. We have the authority, and I mean all the authority that's in that name. And nothing, nothing is more powerful than the name of Jesus. Now, see, I didn't write it on here. I may have to add this before I put it there. Listen, it's not just healing. The name of Jesus is above birth defects. Yes. Remember the man born blind from his mother's womb? Is that not a birth defect? Yes. How about the guy that was born lame from his mother's womb? Is that not a birth defect? Mental disease? Nothing is above the name of Jesus. Yes. Nothing. And I don't care if it's a devil causing mental illness or a chemical imbalance. What difference does it make to our Father? What difference does it make to the Holy Ghost? Well, it's Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is not above the name of Jesus. He can restore every memory you ever had. He'll restore every brain cell you ever lost. If you have to, if he goes, well, that one's too messed up, he'll just give you a new brain and put the memories in it. I mean, come on. This is God we're talking about. And he walks in you. We're going to rise up to where he said we're supposed to be walking. Amen. And we have to consider, I have to say it again, consider not our own body. I don't, myself included, consider not my own body. I'm going to say strong, I'm preaching myself, say strong in faith, giving glory to God that what he has promised, he is well able to perform it. With long life, I'll satisfy them and show them my salvation. Glory to God. God. Hallelujah. So number four, now this is focusing on us disciples. Number four, we have the life of Christ within us. That's that law of the spirit of life. Let's say it this way, though. We have the life of Christ within us that kills any disease that attacks our body. Boy, we're going to have to get that mindset. Now, I already found out you got to go to war. You can't just have that knowledge and stay silent. Go to war. Speak. Command that thing. Take authority. I don't care what it is. All right. Number five, you have already received power when you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I thank God for tongues. I preach tongues. I pray in tongues. I thank God for all that Dave has delivered to us down through the years regarding tongues. But tongues is not all you got when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. Dunamis, dynamite, blow up every gate, set every captive free when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, if you say you can speak in tongues and I say you can, then I also say you receive power when the Holy Ghost come on you. And you're going to have to start having some faith that when you speak in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there to manifest what you say. That's what he said. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. But he started that off saying, have faith in God. You've got to have faith that when you speak in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will move that mountain. And he will too. Jesus said, this is my church. This, on this revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. They won't be able to stand. When you speak, gates tumble, man. You set the captives free. So, number five again, we have received power when we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And number six, I just got through saying, I didn't realize, have faith in God. We have faith in God. Subheadings A. We speak to the mountain and it obeys every single time. Not some of the time. Every time. We have faith in God, so we command sickness to leave and it leaves. Every time. We have faith in God, which means we command devils to come out, and they come out. And if we tell them to enter no more, they enter that person no more. And then subheading D, we have faith in God. We believe that when we speak, God moves to manifest what we say. It's going to clean up your mouth. Number seven. Now these are simple but life-changing. Number seven. Life flows through our hands into the bodies of others by the agency of the Holy Spirit when we lay hands on them. See, Jesus said, I have come. Did you ever notice when he opened that blind man's eyes, the one born lame from his mother's womb? And then later on, the next chapter, he's talking about that in the synagogue. He doesn't say, really, I healed him. He says, I have come. They said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. He called healing that blind man. It's still referencing back to that's healing. He called healing of the man born blind, a birth defect. He called it life. I've come that that man have life. He's talking about the life that God intended from the beginning, and God did not make man to be blind. He did not make man to be crippled. He did not make man to walk around stooped over with a bad back. He did not. Life! And you've got it on the inside of you. Now, that life literally flows by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And one way it can flow is when you lay hands. I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. We have abundance to share with others. What did the psalmist say? My cup runneth over. Runneth over for who? It's not just a spill on the ground. Your cup, you have more than you need. God's life is more than enough for you. You've got enough to run over. See, Jesus talked, he says, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Now see, he put a well on the inside of you. Your salvation is like a well. You can drink from that well and be satisfied from that well all the time. But you don't have a well that's just in it. That's not all you have, just a well for you. You also have the Holy Ghost, and he's like rivers of living water. And it's a type and a shadow of the river of healing that you read about in heaven. And everywhere that the waters went, they brought healing. You remember that? Brought healing. Everywhere you go, you have rivers of living water, rivers of life flowing out of you by the agency of the Holy Ghost. When you lay hands on people, life literally is imparted to them. Number 8. The disciples did not ask the Father, now I'm talking about the book of Acts, to heal the people. Now hang on. The closest that you'll find to that is right at the beginning of their ministry, after they had been rebuked and told not to preach anymore. In that prayer, they said, Father, behold their threatenings. Stretch forth thy hand to do signs and wonders by the name of thy holy child Jesus, that with all boldness we may preach thy word. Right at the beginning, they prayed it that one time. But you don't ever again see them going into a room where somebody's sick and praying, Father, please heal this person. They did it the same way Jesus did it. They would walk in, command the sickness to leave, lay hands on the person and raise them up. Or if it was a devil, they would speak to the devil and run it off. Amen? But you don't see them going like most Christians do today, going in, oh, Father, please heal this person. When we pray that, now again, this is on one of the messages, but when we pray, Father, please heal, he just looks at the stripes on Jesus' back and goes, I already did. What are you asking me to do? I already did I sent my word and healed them. And by the way, in Isaiah, he says, my word will not return unto me void. It'll only return when it's accomplished that for which I sent it. Jesus is the word. Have you noticed he has returned to the Father? Why? Because he has accomplished that for which he was sent. He sent his word and healed them. That's why we don't ask him to heal. He already has. What he's telling us to do is go in like warriors and run the enemy off in the name of Jesus. Kick down the gates and let the captives go free. Amen? It's a whole different mindset, but it's effective. So I'm going to lead you in a few confessions and then we're done. It's good for you. It's good for me. Just say it after me. I am God's child.
I am God's child.
I am Satan's master.
I am Satan's master.
And I am man's servant.
And I am man's servant.
When I speak, heaven hears and agrees.
Heaven hears and agrees.
Hell hears and obeys.
Hell hears and obeys.
The works that Jesus did,
the works that Jesus did,
I do also.
I do also.
Devils are subject to me,
devils are subject to me,
through the name of Jesus.
Through the name of Jesus.
And I lay hands on the sick.
And I lay hands on the sick.
And they recover. Happy Father's Day. We'll see you in 30 minutes.